Life.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
And protection.
Fairness.
Fair trial.
Citizens.
Right.
Well.
Peace.
Losers.
Men.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raise the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
I have the honor of introducing our guest, a prominent activist. Tristan Drosha created the Walking With Our Angels campaign to raise awareness of the disproportionately high rate of suicide among Northern and Indigenous peoples. He walked 635 kilometers from his home in Arrange, Sask, to the legislative grounds in Regina, Saskatchewan, where he participated in a 44-day ceremonial fast to convince the provincial government to adopt a suicide prevention bill it had recently voted down. The bill ultimately passed in April of 2021. But Tristan is also an inspiring fiddle performer and instructor, teaching traditional fiddle music to youth in northern Manitoba. He won the People's Choice Award in the 2019 Grandmasters Fiddling Competition. And today, Tristan empowers Indigenous youth through arts and culture using his gifts of musicianship, writing, photography, and public speaking. He is here with us today to share his talents with us. Thank you, Tristan.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for inviting me to be a part of this. I'm really inspired by all of the work that Amnesty International does, and I've had some writers that I look up to in the past work with them and write some essays about things that they do. And so they've always been on my radar, but I've never been involved in this capacity. So it's nice to be here. I do have my fiddle with me, and I was hoping I could play you guys some pieces of music and maybe just talk to you a little bit about some of the work that I've done, but I don't think there's anything that hasn't been mentioned in the nice introduction, so thank you for that. This is a fiddle tune written by two friends of mine in Manitoba called Memories of Eva, and the composers are Alex Kusturuk and Patty Kusturuk. They're a mother and son. And I always thought this was a special tune because they wrote it for their grandma.
Thank you. That was so beautiful.
Yeah. So it worked. You heard it?
Awesome.
Yes. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Good playing.
Oh, it's cool.
Now I know what to do.
That's wonderful.
Do we have time for a few more? Yeah?
I think so, yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, yeah. This is a fiddle tune that comes from Manitoba. It's called the Caribou Reel. I had the opportunity to fly to a remote community called Brochet, Manitoba. And one of the cool things about that little town is it's the home community of Thompson Highway. And it's just a tiny little village by Reindeer Lake. And at certain times of year, sometimes you have not a lot of students because the families like to caribou hunt. So this is a fiddle tune called the Caribou Reel. And it was one of the favorites of my students and something that I would teach every year. So it's kind of a fun, happy, joyful tune. And I thought we could share it. Buckskin Reel. Sometimes I get them mixed up. So the song I just played you might be Buckskin Reel and the next one might be the Caribou Reel. But I always get these two names mixed up. But one of them is one of them. And now you know both the names. So this is the second one I'm going to play you. Also from Manitoba.
Thank you.
So one of the fun things about the fiddle as an instrument is it was one of the first instruments brought over when people came to North America because it was so transportable. It's very light. You could fit it on your back. You could haul it in your canoe. And I would tell my fiddle students that, like, you could never take a piano in your canoe and expect it to make it to the trading post on time. So they would take fiddles, and it would always be played at gatherings and celebrations. And so there's so much music that's about visiting and gathering and enjoying each other's company. And so a lot of the repertoire is celebratory. And I try to just keep that a good focus and an emphasis and try to teach tunes that they could share with each other and that are kind of joyful and upbeat. Yeah. But I think we were considering the possibility of a Q&A towards the end here. So if anybody has any questions, they're definitely able to ask them, and then maybe I could just end with one more.
Right. I would like to ask, are the fiddle and the violin the same instrument played differently, or are they different instruments?
Same instrument.
Yeah, same instrument. It's a genre change. Fiddle is more folk.
Like my brother plays, he grew up playing the violin. Now he's become a fiddle player, but I never thought to ask him that question.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Some people joke that the price difference, violins are more expensive, but it's actually the exact same instrument. It's just the music you play. Yeah.
So it's jigging music, isn't it? It's dancing music.
A lot of it, yeah, but there's also some waltzes and slower things, but yeah, it's not classical.
What's the difference in the way you play a fiddle and the way you play a violin? I mean, is it the rhythm or?
No, it's actually just the genre. Like violin is like traditional Western classical repertoire.
Okay.
And a lot of old pieces that would be played in symphonies or orchestras.
Mm-hmm.
And fiddle is just like, you know, one guy at a party and everybody's dancing all night sort of thing. Like it's more of a folk genre, I would say. Yeah.
Thank you.
Have you played at dances, Tristan?
Yeah.
Oh, that must be quite fun.
Yeah, it was.
A bit challenging, maybe?
Yeah. They're fun. I get invited to a lot of communities. In northern Saskatchewan, we used to have a lot of square dances. People would get together and gather and... fiddle was always just something present at a lot of community gatherings, so I get invited to some of those communities for the elders and the gatherings that they still have because they remember the square dances. The culture of that is kind of gone by the wayside. I think a lot of young people like to stay home and game or watch TV or something. Not to be stereotypical or cliche, but that's kind of the reality, is they're just a lot of very indoors these days. So it's the elders that invite me to go for their gatherings and things. But and Canada, another interesting thing about the fiddle is every province has their own style. Of course, on the East Coast, you're going to have Celtic, Scottish origins with their music and their repertoire and their dances. Quebec will have French-Canadian. There's something called the Ottawa Valley style. Here in Western Canada, Métis is very common and known. And so that's another interesting thing, is as the fiddle travels, the music changes. And every region has their own repertoires and pieces that they like to play. But nowadays, we're so connected. The fiddle community gets together. We have fiddle camps where 200 fiddle players get together for a week in the forest, and we just share music and teach each other tunes. And I've had the opportunity to learn from some people from all over, so I could show you guys a few tunes from the East Coast. Yeah?
I come from Prince Edward Island, Tristan, and so it's the Irish, Scottish, and Acadian mix.
Yeah.
And been very surprised to find very similar dances, like the square dances, the old-time dances, and the fiddle music. It's very, very like what I grew up with.
Yeah. Well, I'll play you guys one called The Last March. This is called a march. And I don't know how to dance those, but I'm sure it's not a jig and it's not a two-step. It's something else. So this is from Cape Breton Island. That's a genre shift. I always like to emphasize that when I teach groups of young people that every place has their music and their own distinct style and voice. And 'cause then it gets them thinking about, you know, the tunes that their grandparents played or that they would hear at square dances in their community come from there. And like they kind of have a different sense of like, these are ours. And I like that then they're eager to share that with other people. So that's something from the East Coast. And it's a piece that I've always loved and got to learn when I traveled there for the Celtic Colors Music Festival, I think back in 2017. Yeah.
I hear that is a Scottish Celtic tune.
Which yeah.
What you get in Cape Breton.
It was written by a Rankin.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Was it Jimmy? Jimmy Rankin or his brother?
Posted on the piano. So it was a piano piece that his family moved over to the fiddle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's quite special.
Yes.
How is our time? We have time for a few more?
I would say we have time for one more.
Okay. Sounds good. So this piece is French, and yeah, I like it. My friend wrote it when he married his wife, and he named it Complicit. So I always thought that was pretty funny, and it's a jig.
Thank you. Kristen, if I can, I'd like to personally thank you for performing at our event this evening, and also maybe take a minute and ask a question or two and roll it into one. And wonder if you could reflect a few late years later after your Walking with the Angels walk down to Regina, if you could reflect on that at all. And also perhaps if you have any thoughts with respect to, because Amnesty International is very concerned about the issue of climate change, and we're very conscious of the number of times it's disrupted the lives of people in northern Saskatchewan, where people have had to leave due to forest fires, sometimes even during the flooding, but more often than not, have had to leave northern Saskatchewan during forest fires, and how that impacts in terms of people's health and mental health. If you have any thoughts on all that, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah. So the summer after my camp, I kind of retreated back north to spend time with family and do a lot of reflections and kind of decompress a little bit, because it was quite busy. There was a lot of people. We had a lot of visitors. And, of course, there was the added stress of having to go to court and go through all of that alongside the activism and what we were trying to do. But the interesting thing is, when I went to my family cabin in northern Saskatchewan, which is about a 40-minute drive from Buffalo Narrows, I brought a book with me by a journalist, and it was called The Uninhabitable Earth, and it was about climate change and the effects we're going to start to see. And it has a little bee on the cover. I might actually have it right behind me on my bookshelf here, but yeah. So anyway, I took this book to my auntie's cabin and I was reading it, and then I found it quite grim and a little bit overwhelming when they're speaking about how certain changes we'll see will kind of domino into other changes and other changes and make it a little bit more unpredictable. And so I partially, maybe three quarters of the way through the book, I stopped reading it and said, yeah, this is grim. I'm just going to take a little break from this. And then this past summer, the forest fires in northern Saskatchewan went through that entire region, and it actually burnt down our family cabin. So it was amazing to me that here I am reading this book in this beautiful landscape of lush green forest right in front of the river by the lake, and I'm reflecting on how vulnerable our natural world is to a lot of these changes that this author is speaking about. And then as I refused to finish that book, the book's kind of message became a reality in that landscape now, which is all black burnt bush and forest and no more cabin. So in my mind, I thought that might be 10 or 20 years down the road, not 2 years down the road. So I feel like things are accelerating quite a bit. And so my family from Buffalo Narrows, some in Beauval, some in Isle of Crosse, they were all evacuated this past summer. And anybody even in the city knows that it was just a smoky summer. We didn't get a blue sky. So that did have a bad effect on people's mental health, I think, because for people with any respiratory issues or allergies or just, you know, sensitivities, like they stayed indoors because the smoke was a lot. And I think that it's sad because, like, you know, we've been cooped up because of the COVID stuff and then finally we're free, so to speak, and ready to get out there and be outside and be swimming and enjoying outdoors with our family. And then the forest fires hit, and it's just a big cloud of smoke. So we're having to stay inside. So it is interesting to me that the people that were most vulnerable to COVID were people with underlying respiratory issues, and that now that a lot of people have accommodated, you know, safety measures for all of that, now they're getting hit with summers of smoke-filled cities, which again, who does it kind of put at risk but people with underlying respiratory conditions? So it's got to be a lot to deal with. So those are some reflections on climate change as I'm starting to see effects of it. And yesterday I was performing in a small community in northern Saskatchewan. It's the first time I've ever driven north in December and not seen snow. When I was a child in elementary school, not very long ago, you know, 2005, we had to put on our winter boots and our winter coats and our toques to go trick-or-treating in October. We would walk through snow in October. And now here we are in December, it's been raining all day. And we're dealing with rain and +4. And last night when I went outside, it was 2 degrees above zero in the middle of the night in December, and it's raining. And that's kind of unprecedented in my memory anyway. So we are seeing a lot of those changes, and I hope that people are able to not descend into a state of, you know, like despair, but there's some grim science, there's some grim data out there, and it's hard because it feels so big. But nevertheless, we must try to forge ahead and try to make the changes we want to see or the things that we think will help. Within our power. So with me, that's just music. I hope to bring music to these communities and help teach something that might inspire some hope and joy. And but as for reflections on the walk, I'm pretty inspired by how helpful everybody was that came together to help make that camp possible and donate so we could buy a teepee and all these things. And that really amazed me because it started very quickly. I didn't pre-plan this for years and have a whole itinerary laid out. It just kind of happened. And the fact that so many people were able to come together and support it across different sectors, it was really hopeful for me that people were showing how much they cared about this. And although there were some members of the public that didn't quite get it or were not very nice, like I remember one time a man came into the park and said, "Why do you guys get to do whatever you want and set up a teepee? How come I can't bring my RV and camp in the middle of this park?" And I said, "I'm actually going to court next week, so they're not making any special accommodations for me. If you want to go get your RV, feel free to camp beside us. Well, you'll probably get a court summons too." And then he kind of, "Oh, I didn't know that." Like, he didn't realize that I was, you know, being charged with, like, potential civil contempt. But I reflect on the good moments primarily of people who helped, and not the critical ones who were a little bit dismissive or disruptive, because it wasn't about them. It was about you know, trying to just come together and show solidarity and support and try to see this as a collective responsibility, because humans exist in community. And so when you have issues like this, the solutions are community-based. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Tristan, for sharing your music and your story with us this evening. It's definitely a lot of heavy topics that bring us here together, but the fiddling has lifted our spirits, and we are all so absolutely grateful. So I'm really glad that you could be here.